You're listening to a sneak peek into the most recent Chief Resident Incubator Hangout.
Hey guys, I'm Farin Zver, and I'm delighted to get started on this edition of the Chief Resident 2017-2018 Google Hangout with the incredible Dr. Anand Swaminathan, aka Swami. As many of you know, he's going to be talking to us about being an amazing leader. We have four awesome chief residents on with us today. We've got Jeff, Summer, Sarah, and Haley. And Swami, just to give a brief introduction on who he is, although I don't know that he needs an introduction, but he's an emergency physician at NYU and Bellevue. He's the co-host and assistant editor of MRAP, course director for the teaching course, editor-in-chief for Core EM, and I'm not even touching half of what he does academically. And did I mention that he has three kids and finds time to run somehow? Thanks for putting the rest of us to shame, Swami. But without further ado, here is Swami to talk to us about leadership.
Yeah, the thing that you didn't specify is that I don't do any of them well. So if you half-ass everything, you can actually accomplish quite a bit. Lesson number one in being a good leader is not necessarily to take everything on. That's probably not a good idea. But we are going to go over some things that I have found over the years to help develop myself as a leader. I wouldn't say that I'm a great leader yet. I think we're a little bit ahead of ourselves. But I have five or six things. They're kind of brief, but I think they're all important. I think they're a little bit self-explanatory, but more importantly, they are common sense. So among all of the things that I can tell you, the main thing is that what leadership is, and I think what leadership is or what it should be, is about making other people's lives better. It can't be about you. It can't be about making your life better, or else you won't be a good leader. You might be someone that people follow, but that doesn't mean you're a good leader. So as a leader, we have to inspire, we have to challenge, we have to teach, and we have to motivate. That's a lot of stuff to do. And that's why it takes decades to learn how to be a great leader. So let's start with learning about leadership. And this is a really basic and easy one. And again, I think it's really pretty obvious stuff to do. We should be modeling ourselves after great leaders, see what other great leaders do, and try to mimic those things. It's the same stuff that I actually talk about with giving great lectures or doing great teaching, is start by mimicking others, and then you'll develop your own approach. So that's an easy one, right? That's kind of homework to do. Let's talk a little bit about conflict and embracing conflict. Conflict is natural and inevitable. All of you probably have had relationships with significant others, and you know this. In fact, I don't think a good relationship can exist without conflict. You have to have that. It's what pushes us forward. So our success as leaders is greatly going to be determined by how we approach and address conflict. The leaders that run away from conflict, you guys have all worked with those, you know them, you interact with them on a regular basis. This is the attending who they tell you, call the consultant, get them down to see the patient. And then you call the consultant doesn't want to come in. You go back to the attending and say, oh, the consultant doesn't want to see that patient. Oh, that's fine. Just send them for follow-up, right? So they don't want to address that conflict. They don't want to take it on. We have to be able to do that. The way that we do it, the tact, the approach is pretty critical. And one of the quotes that Amal shares, I think is absolutely phenomenal, is one from Churchill. Tact is the ability to tell someone to go to hell in such a way that they look forward to the trip. That's what tact is about. So we have to find ways to manage those conflicts in a way that is productive. Yelling, screaming, cursing, that's not the way that we can deal with conflict or that we should be addressing it. You're just trying to get done what needs to get done. So I have found that by simply trying to rein in my language, to be professional, to maintain social etiquette, is the first step in taking care of any conflict. And if you are professional about it, and if you're appropriate and you're well-behaved, you are much more likely to get done what you need to get done. So that is my two cents on embracing conflict.
How do you engage with the resident that just does not want to engage in any discussion at all?
I think in those situations, you actually need to work really hard to get them to accept that what they did was not the right thing. So the first thing is to make sure that you have the right situation to be addressing it. So this shouldn't obviously be on shift. It shouldn't be while the person's busy with something else. It needs to be a dedicated time to address it. And then if they come from that perspective, you almost have to, I mean, I hate to say it this way, but I have three kids and raising them is conflict resolution. Sometimes you have to do it as if they are a child, but you know, not the way that I would do it to my nine-year-old. You have to kind of ask them, it's like, can you tell me why we're having this conversation? Like, tell me what the problem is, because it may not be that they don't want to address it. They may simply not understand what the problem is or why it was a problem because they've always seen it done that way. They saw somebody else do it that way. It's always worked for them. You get to remember that residents, you guys included, are very high accomplished human beings, right? For most of your lives, you have succeeded, you've achieved. And so now you run into something where you're not. It's hard sometimes to incorporate that into who you are, into yourself. So sometimes you just simply have to turn it around, just like you would do with feedback or anything else, and say, tell me why this is an issue. Tell me what the problem is here. All right, let's move on a little bit from conflict and let's take our third take-home point, which is setting the example. And Eleanor Roosevelt said, it is not fair to ask of others what you are unwilling to do yourself. I think that's a great, simple way to phrase it. If you're not willing to do whatever it is in front of you, you can't then tell others to do it. And the funny thing about that is I'm an attending, you guys are residents, and you know which faculty in your department, there are certain things that they will never do, but they will expect you to do them. We always kid around in our residency, Wednesdays is our academic conference day. So the residents are in conference until, you know, 12 or 1, depending on the day. And then they come down and they'll see, you know, the boards are full with patients, and the attending will round with them and be like, I saw this patient, I wrote the note, I ordered the labs, but they need a rectal examination. And you're like, seriously? You're going to have me walk up to a person who's been here for 4 hours and say, hi, my name is Dr. Swami. I'm going to stick my finger in your butt now. That's completely unacceptable. But you guys know who they are, and you guys have registered those people in your head. You know when you come down from conference, you're going to be working with them, that it's going to be painful, and you don't want to be like them. So you have to make sure to set the same example for the residents that you work with, that you supervise. So when I work a busy shift, I take patients primarily, and I will do all those things. I will never, you know, see an abdominal pain patient and be like, oh, halfway through, I was like, oh, I just realized this patient needs a pelvic exam. I'm going to wait and let the resident pick up this one. You have to just do it. Whatever needs to be done, we're going to do it. There are no doctor tasks, nurse tasks, med student tasks. They are all provider tasks that we need to share in order to accomplish things. And as a result of that, by setting that example, you make it easier for everybody else to pitch in more and to do more for you when you are running something. Set the example, lead by example. If you do that, it's a lot harder for other people to complain, saying that you're not pulling your weight when you're doing a little bit more than everybody else is. And that's really what good leaders do. All right, so I'm going to move on to my fourth point, and that's learning to listen and understand. The main thing with this is that listening is not waiting for your turn to talk. And you guys know what I mean by this, because you've all done it. I've done it. I probably did it earlier today, and I probably will do it a couple more times later today because I'm working a clinical shift. What this is really about is empathy. It's listening to the person, synthesizing in your head, being able to not necessarily repeat it back to them, but to echo back to them what it is that they are saying and telling you. And if you can't do that, if you can't switch from just simply waiting for your turn to talk to actually listening and understanding, it's really hard going back to solve those conflicts. It's really bad. It's really hard to be a good leader if you don't understand what it is that the people you are leading need. And to do that, you really have to be able to sit there and just listen. It's easier for us to listen and think about what we're going to say next. But when it's coming to conflicts and leadership, you really want to take the time to listen. Let them get everything out, take it all in, compress it, you know, analyze it, synthesize it, and then respond with what you want to talk about. The next one is trying to imagine yourself in the other person's position. And I think all of you have heard this. You've heard it from your parents, you've heard it from your teachers, and yet sometimes we do forget about it. What this does is it allows you to see what it is that is so frustrating that for that person, why they are so focused on that one little thing. And of course, you know, this isn't just for leadership. This is for any relationship. Again, if you guys have a significant other, had a significant other, you know that sometimes something makes absolutely no sense to you whatsoever. But to that other person, it completely makes sense. I find this with my wife all the time. We have very different backgrounds that we were raised in. And so she'll do something and I'll sit there being like, that is a completely nonsensical thing to do, until I take a moment and think about, well, why is she doing that? Where is she coming from on this? If you can take that little bit of time to imagine yourself as the other person, where they're coming from, what they might be dealing with, it becomes much easier to figure these things out in that way. All right, let's move on. That was actually the last point of listening and understanding. Let's move on. The second to last thing I wanted to talk about was fostering strength in others. And again, I think this makes a lot of sense, but we often don't do it. And I know a lot of leaders that I've interacted with that don't foster strength in others. They want to lead by being the dominant person in that arena, in that setting. And that doesn't help anybody. You want everybody else to accomplish. And again, this is about leadership, is about making others better, making others great, making others' lives better. What I dream of, what I want, is to take a resident, mentor them, lead them, and build them into somebody who is better than I am. And then my final point is being generous and crediting others. Highlight when others do great work. We should make sure to congratulate those people who do great things. Highlight those efforts. And if you do that, again, what you do is you generate goodwill amongst the people that you work with. And again, you're pushing them up. You're pushing them further along. Be humble. Give the credit to others where it's deserved. So those are kind of my couple of things to look at for leadership. Learn about other leaders, what they've accomplished, how they've done it, and almost mimic their styles until you develop your own. Embrace conflict, make it part of what you do. It's inevitable. So you have to be good at conflict resolution. Set an example for those around you. If you do it, others will see that it is possible to do, but also that it is expected to do. Learn to listen, to really listen and understand, not just thinking about when it's your turn to talk. Foster strength in others, and then finally be generous and give credit where credit is due.
Awesome. Thank you again so much, Swami, and thanks to these four awesome chiefs.
This podcast is brought to you by EBSCO Health's DynaMed Plus. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.